Good morning and happy Tuesday. We are already starting this show laughing, so I'm going to do my best to keep a straight face. But welcome back to the Bridget Bartley Show. And first of all, I want to give a massive thank you and shout out to Old Europe Pastries for sponsoring our show again. We love Bobby. He has been a massive support for the show. Old European Pastries, they are open in Asheville already, but they are coming to downtown Greenville the end of May. The grand opening is going to be in June. Logan and I have had the chance to really walk through their store, see the progression, have some of their pastries. So stay tuned on my social media. You can also follow them on Instagram at Old Europe Pastries. So welcome Logan Finley to the Bridget Bartley Show.
Hi.
Literally before we got started, I was like, did you ever think we'd be on a talk show together?
Absolutely not.
So this is going to be fun. But the professional side of Logan Finley, she is a founder and owner of Studio Meraki. She is a one-stop shop for all your entrepreneur needs. She does Instagram management, creating content. She does web design, business cards. She's really great at social media branding, and she has helped a lot of people in my organization, as well as outside of my organization, just even within my company, helping them with their social media and getting them started with their business. So it's been really cool watching her build that from the ground up. But So a lot of people see us together on social media. We're always out and about someplace. Our nicknames have kind of been like yin and yang because we really balance each other out in a lot of ways, like just with the blonde hair, the black. I mean, it's just always. So anyway, how we met, because this is kind of an interesting story. And there was a lesson for me behind it, too, where going back to I just started working with a couple with accountability. And one of their first lessons was get off your computer and get out with human interaction. And I am so comfortable working behind my laptop it's probably a little contradiction. I'm introverted a little bit. So it's really comfortable for me to work behind the computer. But one of her lessons was get out from behind the computer. So I started going out into coffee shops and working. And now I absolutely love it. And I'm sitting in a coffee shop in Spartanburg. And I see this girl walk in, and of course it's Logan we're talking about. And I'm like, okay, she is not from here. Just because I could just tell by how she was dressed, her energy, just everything. And we're going to talk more in depth about the whole energy and your appearance and how you present yourself later on. But she walked in. I was like, she is not from here. Like, I need to know her because I like the book that she was reading. She was reading this book about nutrition. It was like really thick. And I'm like, okay, I like the book. Totally judging by its cover. I'm like, it's thick, so she must be patient. She must like take time to read it. And literally like within minutes, and I had actually recognized her from social media, and she recognized mm-hmm. me. I was like, are you by chance Logan? She was like, are you Bridget? And then we sat and we talked for 3 hours. We connected on so many levels. Like,
yeah, we
serious,
did.
We jumped right into it from like girl talk, dating to like women's physical bodies, like everything.
Yeah, we went in deep from day one.
I know, because yeah, it was good. And so that really, you know, and I know different people can use it in different terms, but I consider that law of attraction. And I know that that's a term that's not really liked upon by certain people or certain religions, whatever, but it was like right place, right time. And we just immediately connected. I did a whole Insta story background for those of you who wanted to see it. But
no, it's so true. And we've talked about this before, but I had just come out of, I call it my friendship detox. So there were, and I wouldn't even call them toxic people, but there were just people that weren't who I needed to surround myself with. There's nothing inherently wrong with these people. There was nothing, that I would look back on and say was a mistake or wasn't the right decision. But I felt that I needed to step into something different. And unfortunately, that meant leaving a few people out of what that next life and next step was going to be for me. And so at this moment when you and I meet, I am incredibly lonely, really lonely. I'm a girl's gal. I love girl talk, which is why I'm so excited about today's show. But I mean, I genuinely was just craving female energy. And the second we met each other, sat down, started talking, it was truly an answered prayer to say, okay, this is my yang. This is my girl. This is someone who I really connect with on so many different levels. And it proves that you might step out of something in quantity, but the quality just above and beyond is so much better.
Right. And that's a lesson that you have actually taught me is, I mean, I have a lot of friends. Yeah, girl.
Oh.
Is, you know, and that's a big difference where it's quality over quantity, because I mean, I have a lot of friends and I'm friendly with a lot of people, but I would just give my energy and time to so many people because I wanted to help everybody in whatever capacity. But then, you know, it was like the givers versus the takers. You know, and I thought, and I know I sent you this meme the other day on Instagram where, like, when you meet somebody, like, for dating or whatever, and it's like, and even, I feel like it's like that with friends, is, please be weird like me, please be weird like me, please be weird like me.
Please have quirks.
I'm like, she gets me, because, like, we can be so serious, but yet, like, we're so goofy and quirky at the same time. And, you know, talking about, like, those friendships with girls where, and I know, you know, we have the same circle of friends, or pretty much the same circle of friends, where, like, we get each other, where, and that's where immediately, like, when we connected and we talk about that girl circle, is who's going to understand me more than anything. And we were laughing at this when we were at Southern Press prior to this doing our talk, and just even telling Logan, you know, I have just very few friends and you're one of them. And this is where I feel like this is when you can really identify a true, genuine friendship, is when I wonder sometimes when you see the phone ring, if you're like, what's up now?
Is this good? Is this bad? What is, like, this call going to be?
Because it's always something. I mean, we talk, but it's, you know, there's just, it's always something exciting. But it's, you know, genuine friendship is when you can share something and you know there's not going to be judgment. It's like just completely off the wall, no judgment. This is my journey. This is where I am. This is what I did. Mm-hmm. And that speaks volumes.
That's true. Going into this talk, I think it's important to show and disclose the intention that we set going into it. And when we were discussing topics, we obviously are going down so many rabbit holes within the next hour or so of our talk. And the central theme that I think it should always circle back to is two-part. First part, we talk like this, whether we're in the studio or whether we're at Southern Press getting juices. I mean, we talk about spirituality. We talk about appearance. We talk about business. We talk about other girls and friendship. But more importantly than that, and the second part of what I really want the takeaway to be from this show is, women in particularly have a nasty habit of gossip and comparison and just this game of demise of other women. And that is not at all what we're designed to be. We should uplift and we should encourage and we should be the people to really speak life, especially into other women. And so we would more so want the intention to be this as a model of how to have girl talk without gossip, because there's no room for that. There's no room for that.
Yeah. Well, and when we see stuff show up for other people, which, you know, I mean, naturally we see things happen and people evolve around us and we're like, that's their journey, you know, and even though we may share something, it's like we never wish harm. Like talking about the Jew, true. Look, Israel's in my head because we were talking about Israel earlier. But what we're talking about earlier is respecting each other's journey and respecting other people's journey. And, you know, with the no judgment and that sort of thing. But, you know, I know a lot of people, they're like, well, how do I find friendships like that? And, you know, one thing that I think about, and I feel like this is like this in relationships and friendships in your business, is just be that person. Just be that person. Like, I don't even want to hear the gossip. Like, don't tell me. I don't want to know. So when somebody else asks me, I can legit say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or just walk away or change the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... Yeah. So that goes into like not putting God in a box as well and thinking outside the box, where we were talking about that. Because I know a lot of the stuff that we've talked about has been religion based, spirituality based. We have had some deep, deep spiritual conversations. And this is one way that Logan and I are so well connected, because for me, and I'm just going to put it out there, for me growing up, in a mix of like Buddhism with being Pentecostal, Catholic, married a Southern Baptist. I mean, it was like I had all these rules, regulations, titles of, you know, you got to wear pantyhose to church too. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. It was just like rules. Like I saw this God as rules, and literally, I mean, it kind of confused me because what I felt intuitively, I felt, or if I would have like an intuition or something, it would always get suppressed. And so for me, really, probably it started about 10 years ago. Like I wanted to know, like all of you are telling me who God is, or like who this God is, but I wanted to know for myself. And so that's really what sparked my trip to Israel, which you were also on that trip, and by far the most enlightening trip I've ever experienced. Which we had fun crashing the wedding.
We did. I mean, there were so many experiences. I mean, fun doesn't even begin to cover that trip. But this full circles back into what we were talking about previously of women and the box we try and fit ourselves in, especially when it comes to how many friends we have, how often are we going out, how often are we catching up, how often am I getting a phone call from another girl just wanting a girl chat. And it progresses into this idea that we were designed a certain way and we were designed to interact a certain way and it's going to look the same for everyone. And that's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true at all. It boils down to you as an individual. So if I'm a ambivert in which I'm going to adapt to my environment, I am perfectly okay sitting at home by myself, back porch, glass of wine, listening to the wind chimes. Like, that's great for me. But I like getting dolled up and going out and having small talk and mingling with a cocktail, too. You know what I mean? And so it's learn yourself and learn, are you extroverted? Are you introverted? Are you ambiverted? And then make the decision of how you're going to live the rest of your life when it comes to the kinds of friends you surround yourself with, the amount of people you surround yourself with, and the exposure you have. And that even leads into not putting God in the box, because don't put yourself in the box. If we're not putting God in a box because you can't, what in the world makes you think that you're any less than that to where he wants you to shrink in that way?
Well, and I think women have way more power and influence than we give ourselves credit for. And how, like, God can just channel that through us because, you know, being that, you know, with our significant other, you know, they're doing their thing out in the world, whereas, like, we're there, they're grounding, I guess referring to, like, the Proverbs 31 women, like, how we keep the men grounded, we keep the family grounded, but yet we have so much voice and power and influence into the world that I don't think women realize that, but how the consciousness can just radiate through.
You know me, I'm big on you live your life, you do you. If you are the grounded woman, if you are the Proverbs 31 through and through, you be that, you be the best at that. And if you're not, that's amazing too. We need both in the world.
Absolutely.
Maybe you are the wild child. Maybe you are the one that's always trying to pull him out and get him out and get him out of his comfort zone in his box. And maybe you're someone who's more flighty and more in the moment. And that's amazing. That's fun energy. That is really creative energy. That's a right-brained individual, if I had to say that. And both make the world go round. Don't try and fit into the construct of what you think a proper woman should be or a proper business owner should be or what a proper girlfriend or wife or fiance should be. Be you and let that be enough.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always tell people is, like, do what makes your soul happy. I say that a lot. Like, what would you do if time and money were not an option? Like, what in your life would you do? Professionally, relationally, socially, what would you do? And just live your life like that and have fun with it. I know some people think, okay, like, get off your unicorn. That's not reality, but it is.
It's true.
I mean, it is. I mean, do what you think is fun. If you love to speak, find a platform to go speak. Maybe it's just a Facebook Live or Instagram Live or something, you know, but if you want to go into marketing, go into marketing. I mean, that's what even, you know, one of the things that stemmed you into Studio Meraki is you had like this creative outlet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the story of Studio Meraki. I was working as a business consultant, which was great. I love that. I love that vibe and that route. But at the same time, I started to feel this creative energy that I've had since a kid. But as you get older, it diminishes a little bit and you hear things like starving artist, in quotes that scare you away from any sort of creative project and thinking that was any way a route to take to success. And so I said, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a business, and I'm not going to have an agenda. I don't have a target market. I'll work with anyone. I don't have a revenue that I'm trying to hit each month, because at the end of the day, the bulk of my money isn't coming from this. This is genuinely a creative project for me.
Right.
And so that really allowed me to freed me up to say yes to a lot of different things. So originally I came in with the idea of I'm going to design websites. Well, then I have a client come to me and say, hey, will you design business cards that match my website? Sure, I can do that. Well, will you start to manage my Instagram account, because it really needs some help and some love? Absolutely, I'll do that for you, 100%. Oh, I just wrote this free PDF and really need it designed and put on my website. Will you design it for me? Absolutely, I'll do that. Oh, I have this business meeting that I'm doing. Will you go through my closet and help pick me out an outfit for it? Absolutely, I'll do that. It's more so, Studio Meraki was a combination of me understanding, I'm going to acknowledge my right brain for what it is, and I'm going to acknowledge that it's there, and I'm going to acknowledge this creative energy that I have and that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to meet that with someone who doesn't find themselves in a creative arena naturally. And I'm going to say, just because your product or service isn't designed in a way that's appealing to people right now, we're going to bridge that gap. So let's me and you come together and let's make this thing great. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And the thing about your business, too, is it's you don't treat it as a transaction. Like, you truly build relationships with those people, because right. you're basically helping to brand them. Right.
Yeah. 100%. And that's a big thing when it comes to who I take on as a client. And I say this from the get-go. If you ever get on a phone call with me regarding any Studio Meraki talk that we do, I will say this right out the gate. I might not be the person who gets this project done. Because at the end of the day, if we're not connected, if I can't finish your sentence, if I can't extract what's in your head and project it onto a computer screen or a phone screen,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not the best person for the job. And I am perfectly okay with acknowledging that. But what I can do is I can put you in touch with the right people for you. And so I've had hard conversations with clients that want to work with me. And I say, I'm not comfortable taking on this project because I'm not going to do it justice. But so-and-so will. Let me connect you with them. But then what that does is the clients I do choose to take on, we create magic, just pure magic, to where I'm not needing to constantly consult them or constantly give them weekly updates, because they know that I'm operating the same way they would. And I'm learning how they speak, and I'm portraying that into the copy that we put on their site, or I'm writing posts for them on Instagram the same way they would write a post on Instagram. I'm editing a photo in a way that they feel comfortable and feel that it still best represents them, while simultaneously it looks good.
Yeah. Well, okay, I have like three things on my head.
Go for it. I'm ready.
So like, and that's the thing. We talked about like editing photos versus the airbrush. Because, I mean, the social media is such a massive part of our lives right now. And, you know, from the last show we had with Ryan and Matt, I mean, this is basically our new TV. Mm-hmm. And everybody, it's our laptops, it's our TV, it's everything. And like with social media, you know, I will tell people, I will call people out if I feel appropriate, like, stop airbrushing your photos. Just stop.
See, this is where I'm an unpopular opinion.
And where, you know, I will just tell, like, when I see people out and I don't recognize them, it's challenging. And so that's where, for the social media, it's just stop the airbrush.
And stop. And to a degree, I agree with you. However, devil's advocate, which I tend to play if you know me, in that same breath of me saying I agree with you, at the end of the day, your business is only as successful as your level of confidence in that business. And if you are an entrepreneur, not only are you selling your product, you're selling your service, you're selling yourself, because you have to be the personality around that product or whatever service you're offering. And the sad reality is, it's a world we've built and are continually building, but people want to present themselves in a way that can keep up with people that are airbrushing. You can't open a magazine on any shelf in America and it not be an airbrush photo. And if it is, it comes out in the media that I refuse to be airbrushed. And it's a big deal for a celebrity to say, I'm choosing not to airbrush my photos. And those are a dime a dozen stories. And so when you've got a business owner, particularly women, who are putting themselves out there in a very exposed way through social media, if airbrush makes you feel like a bad bitch, then do it, boo. Do it. We will airbrush you. We'll pull in your waist. Whatever makes you feel more confident. And you know what? At the end of the day, if someone doesn't recognize you because of that, they didn't recognize your face. They didn't have time to get to know your personality and be able to call that out of a crowd. Pass them away anyways. Because they're only interested in what you're offering face value. They're not interested in what's deeper. But the people that truly get to know you and truly get to see the ins and outs of what you do, so what? It's airbrushed. So what? Move on, people. It's so villainized now. And at the end of the day, if it makes you confident, do it.
It's such a comparison game out there.
It is.
And you have, I remember telling you this for so long, is you have so much to offer into the world. I'm like, if people could only hear your wisdom, like, girl, you got to start, like, you rarely post on your own page. And I constantly say, like, share more. My perspective has changed in that way because I know, you know, several people who you do their social media accounts mm-hmm. for, and I know that it's you writing, mm-hmm. and I'm like, look at her, and I feel like it's like God, again, going back to not putting God in a box, instead of him channeling through you, through just Logan Finley, mm-hmm. he has given you a platform to go through this person up mm-hmm. north, this person in California, this person in South Carolina, to this new person in California, to this person up north. I mean, and right. so he has given you, just like the epiphany just came, where it's like outside the box of he's given you massive outlets. And mm-hmm. it doesn't have to come through Logan Finley's account because you're definitely not one who requires the praise, yeah. the recognition, the edification. But you're able to channel your wisdom out through multiple social media accounts. So that's...
Am I blushing or is it just these lights?
I'm
my
sweating because I just had like a breakthrough here. Seriously, though.
I mean,
though,
it's true. So my original career goal was print journalism. That was the sun and the moon to me. I just wanted to write. I wanted to be the Carrie Bradshaw of Greenville.
I mean, can so see you as
that
Carrie
was
Bradshaw.
My goal. I wanted it so bad. And unfortunately... how I often do, I glamorized the situation. And so when I got to the actual ins and outs of it, I realized this is not all it's chalked up to be. You don't write with your own voice. They're telling me what to write. Mm-hmm. Nothing against journalism industry. I think it's wonderful. But it wasn't what I wanted. And so I then had to create, like I said, the outlet for me to do that. And that didn't mean that was paying my bills. It didn't mean that was what I was doing 9 to 5 every day. It didn't mean that's what I was doing every day, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. But it was there. It was a small project that has slowly grown into this larger and larger project where now I'm in industries of nutrition and health. I'm in the fitness industry writing. I'm in the editorial industry writing. I'm in the granite industry writing. I didn't know anything about granite and engineered quartzite until I started working with a specific company. And now I'm able to dabble in a bunch of different industries, form an opinion on it, and express that opinion in the voice of whatever company or person I'm representing. And that, to me, is way better than a sex column Carrie Bradshaw had in New York City.
That's true. That's a great perspective. That's a really good perspective to have on that as well. So I know, like, we've talked about age for a while because, I mean, if we want to be candid.
We can be candid. Come on.
I could technically be your mom.
This is true. So for those of you who don't know, I'm 22.
And most people think we're both like 27, uh-huh. 28. Mm-hmm. But go ahead. You're 22.
I'm 22. And for the longest time, you know this, I felt like I had to hide the secret of don't let anyone know I'm 22. Keep it a secret. The most dreaded question was, where'd you go to college? When'd you graduate? Because my answer was a year ago. I graduated a year ago, 2017. Are you kidding me? And so it was the secret that I was trying to keep from people. And we talk about this all the time. The key to success is finding your power. And what I found is your power is often hidden in this golden nugget you're trying to keep from people. Mm-hmm. And so instead of going into a business pitch or a conversation and saying, oh, I'm 22, you know, I hope that doesn't change your opinion on what I do. I hope you're still confident in what I do. I'm sitting down at the table. Those are the first words out of my mouth. I'm 22, and that's exactly why you want to work with me, because I can sit across from this table from you and feel confident and present my ideas and my opinions on this, stick to those ideas and those opinion on this, and I'm 22. Think about when you were 22. Were you able to do that? You want to get in early, boo. Come on. Like, you want to work with me at 22. Don't wait till I'm 25, 24. You ain't going to be able to afford me. You know what I mean?
That is true.
But you have to lead with that confidence and that clarity of, this is my power. And I'm claiming it, take it or leave it. And it dials right back to that first topic we talked about. People will leave it. I'm not saying they won't. This isn't the unicorn glamorous type of mentality to have going into life. Mm-hmm. People will leave it and they will tell you their opinion on it. And if you let them, they'll make you feel like crap about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you see it for what it is, and you choose to move on without it and without them.
Well, and that goes into what we talk about a lot, is how you present yourself, mm-hmm. which that presentation of the confidence to the inner confidence, the outward confidence. So talk a little bit about that.
Confidence.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, boo. I've been talking a minute. I need to take a break.
She's on a roll.
I'm on a roll. It's so true. I hate seeing the potential of someone, but then there's this looming cloud over them that they're not good enough. And I hate seeing it because I know someone in your life has said that to you, mm-hmm. whether that was nonverbal or verbal or straight to your face, behind your back. Someone planted that seed that you weren't good enough. They might have planted it a year ago or 10 years ago, and you're still carrying that with you. And that breaks my heart. And like I said, this whole conversation is dialing back to, we need to uplift each other and we need to stand in support of each other and not be threatened by someone else's success. And so it starts with how you present yourself and your level of confidence when you walk into a room and your ability to have your shoulders back, speak clearly, eloquently, have an opinion, stick to that opinion. And then when your opinion's been proven wrong, because it will eventually, admit, oh, I never thought of it that way. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Congratulations. You have swayed my opinion on this. And have that open dialogue and that vulnerability with people. And that is going to make you the most confident woman in the room. It doesn't make you cocky. It doesn't make you better than anybody. Because at the end of the day, when you find your confidence and you identify it for what it is, you start looking at people and seeing those looming clouds. And instead of attacking that, you look at it and it breaks your heart and you extract that confidence out of that specific woman, which is what you did for me. Studio Meraki would not exist without Bridget Bartley and a 2-hour conversation from Lexington, South Carolina to Greenville, South Carolina, where I could not escape. We were in the car and she was just beating me over the head with, you need to do something. You need to start something. You need to express this. You need to exercise this muscle. You need to do this. And within a 24-hour period, I had bought a domain, applied for the LLC, picked the name, and started designing my website and said, well, shit, okay, here you go. I'm doing it, Bridget.
Because I was like, what do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose?
But sometimes it takes a confident woman to extract the confident woman out of you. And that is my end goal in life, is I want people to step into their confidence and own it for what it is. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And you do very well at it. It's been really cool watching you just succeed and thrive through Studio Meraki, because you're channeling that. It's the ripple effect. Mm-hmm. You're channeling that into other women as well. So going back to like how we present ourselves as women, it's interesting when you talked about how, you know, we are the way we are because somebody has told us this or told mm-hmm. us that. And that's a lot of the coaching that I do, is helping people understand the cause and the effect, because mm-hmm. in reality, we are all how we are as an adult because of what we were told and treated as a child, whether it was through our parents, whether it was we're being bullied in school, whatever those childhood events were, that neurologically programmed us. And I was just having this conversation with Chelsea a couple of days ago, when we are on this journey to evolving and wanting to find like why we're here, our sole purpose and stuff, is I have found it's not learning who you are, but learning who you are not. Because for so long, you know, I had these labels and expectations of what was expected of me, but it wasn't me, because I didn't want to go work in an office 9 to 5. I didn't want to be an attorney. I was going to be an attorney because originally my major was criminal justice. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
There were certain things I knew that, you know, a pharmacist or a doctor. I mean, it's just, I had all these expectations that I was supposed to be, but it just never resonated. I mean, even as a child, I had this vision that I wanted to travel and own a business. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what that looked like. And here I am.
The walls of the boxes we put ourselves mm-hmm. in, they come up each and every day from the day we're born.
And that's where, you know, even for the parents out there is the younger kids. I've always had such a passion for younger girls, like working with teen girls and just giving them that permission to express themselves in that capacity of just, you know, who you are, like why you're here.
And the permission to fail. Mm-hmm. Honeys, failing is good. It is good. Should I go down this rabbit hole?
Girl, go.
Failure. Okay. We got to talk about it for a minute, ladies, because a lot of us look at our failed opportunities and think of what could have been. Oh, I started this business. I could have quit my 9 to 5. I could have made 6 figures off of it. I could have retired early. I could have traveled to such and such. And what that does is that takes your energy onto a path of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Could have isn't going to happen. The more you relish in the coulda, woulda, shoulda, the more you are just, you might as well be tossing your energy out the window. But when you then derail from what could have happened to, okay, what is supposed to happen in this? So this business venture didn't work out, or this relationship didn't work out, or this opportunity didn't come to fruition. But why is that? Is that because there's something that hasn't even developed in me yet that I need to pay some attention to? Because the could have made 6 figures, who's to say this new opportunity isn't going to make you 7? Who's to say this failed relationship that didn't take you to X, Y, and Z, who's to say the next one that comes along isn't going to take you to places you couldn't even fathom were a possibility? That failed mindset and relishing in the what could have happened to you, dispel that immediately. And I know somebody watching is in that space right now. I've been there. Mm-hmm. You've been there. People watching have been there. You've got to train that mentality, and it's not easy. Train that mentality, derail it back on the course of, okay, what now? It was a lesson learned. What now? What is my next step to get me to those goals? Goals and could have beens are totally different.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I always say is I am not attached to an outcome. Now, I had mm-hmm. to train myself. I had to train the mindset, do a shitload of inner work. And it is hard
work.
You said
we weren't going to cuss on this, and I've already done it 3 times. That was your first one. Dang it.
I typically do it a lot more, as you know. But it just, you know, I've really learned from so much in the last 7 years, especially, don't be attached to an outcome. Mm-hmm. And I hear it in the business world, you know, fail your way to success because, okay, this didn't work, then move on. There's a purpose for everything, every person. And exactly like you said, like being open because, and I'll say, okay, well, I loved this, but if God has something better, then bring it on.
Bring it on.
Bring it. Because this was good,
yep.
But you got something better.
And in the middle of that space of what's coming, I'm preparing myself. I'm getting ready. I'm making sure I'm ready when that person or that opportunity mm-hmm. presents itself. I can give it 110% and know at the end of the day, I gave it my all. And those coulda, wouldas didn't happen because they weren't on the table for me. Those were not in the cards for me. And that is A-okay.
Yeah, it's a good space to be in. It is such a good space to be in. And like just being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's, again, it starts with the decision of just letting go, like just letting go. And then also just the decision of just being happy. And I think it's a perception. So I know that some people are like, how do you get to that point? Like, how do you get to that level of evolvement, that level of consciousness? And it takes a lot of inner work, but to give people some tools, what are some of your favorite books that you have read?
Oh, my favorite books. Well,
because the quiet time, the solitude is so important. Mm-hmm. And I tell this to people, especially, and we'll talk about this later because we actually had people writing in on questions about dating in your 20s versus 40s and relationships and stuff. So I will we will go down that rabbit trail in just a second. But solitude, I feel like, is so important. And I have learned, my mentor Simi told me this, and she was so right. Loneliness is the hardest yet most rewarding work you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. And that place of solitude, because I realized you are the only person you'll spend the rest of your life with. Mm-hmm. It's you. That's it. And when you can get to that groundwork and being content, I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, we've known each other for almost 2 years, mm-hmm. and a lot has shifted for me just in the last, I feel like even the last 6 months.
Absolutely.
Where the inner work, I mean, you've seen like the inner work and how it has just showed up, not only in relationships, but professionally, financially, like in all these different ways. So going back to the question, what are some books that will help give people tools on how to just get started with that?
Well, a book I read once a year is Anatomy of the Spirit by Carol Myss, I think, M-Y-S-S. That's a phenomenal book. It links our personal traumas to illnesses and how those can manifest in our bodies. And so it's always a great tool to keep. And then also, I mean, I could list off books for days. I love reading. But I think the more important nugget of information in this is going to be, how do you become evolved in this? How we're saying some really beautiful things, and in theory, they sound awesome. Yeah, step into your confidence and don't judge other women and gossip's bad and toxic. Obviously, we all know that. But the biggest lesson to learn is you got to step into your trauma. Your trauma is the only thing that is going to enlighten you into a space to where this stuff becomes practiced, not theorized, in your life. And I say that, and you're going to immediately retract back and say, oh, I haven't had anything traumatic happen to me. And I want you to sit there and think about it for a minute, because when I think of the word trauma, there's one particular instance in my life that sticks out to me. And by all means, it was traumatic and horrible, and I never in a million years would hope any of my friends or my children would go through that experience. But when I look back, that trauma is what brought me to this table today. It's what brought me into my healthy relationship with my boyfriend. It's what led me to Studio Meraki. I mean, this was the catalyst for a lot of really good things in my life. And when traumas happen, we tend to suppress it. We keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. We say we're just going to move on from it. It happened. I accept. But I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to think about it. And unfortunately, that's not going to work long term. And that's really hard to digest, and it's really hard to think about. And don't let someone else define what a trauma is for you. That's a thought I just had, because for some people, you have a situation and everyone in the room would say, yeah, that's rough. I don't know how you got through that. And then you've got the people who would say what their trauma is in life, and you've got people that would look at it and say, are you kidding me? People have that so much worse. That's not a trauma.
Right.
A trauma to you is a trauma. I don't care how big, how small on the spectrum of life it looks. If it was traumatic for you, let it be traumatic and let the lesson emerge out of that trauma. And that's where you're going to step into the enlightened space. Books are great, great resources, great tools for you. But a more practical tool, pull out a pen and paper and write your own story down, your own experiences down, and extract the lesson from that moment in time. And let it propel you into whatever the future has for you.
Very true. And it goes back to what I said earlier, the cause and the effect is, you know, certain things happen and the effect. Because I know, you know, a lot of my traumas, which, I mean, I have so many stories that make up my story.
It's true.
And they have all happened to put me on the right track, and they all had purpose. But I also feel like it's the perception that I choose to give it as well. I mean, I could wallow in certain things and be bitter and angry and why did this have to happen? But when, you know, I feel like when you give it the positive energy and the positive perspective, it can definitely put you on the right path. So a couple of my favorite books, I love anything on the mindset side. I love anything by Joe Dispenza. He is phenomenal in really breaking down the neurons that wire and fire together, the cause and the effect, everything with I am a neuroscience nerd. Like, that legit keeps me up at night when I start getting into it. And then also one of my favorite books, which I told you about last week, A Happy Pocket Full of Money. Yes. That is an awesome book and resource for money mindset, money consciousness, and really helps teach you and show you, like, not, again, not to put God in a box.
Right. It's in my Amazon cart.
Yeah, it is such. And so I'm thinking about doing like a book club on that. For those of you in Greenville at Topside, we're talking about maybe doing something up there or maybe on Zoom. I don't know.
That's a phenomenal idea.
It's such a great book. And it was a game changer for me as far as for me, I felt like, okay, I've got to do this business and create this income because I want to do this, this, and that. In this and that way. Mm-hmm. Like I was so laser focused. I had it all written down in my spreadsheet, but then this book helped me realize like, why are you putting this in a box? Like just put it out there,
yep.
You know, put like where you want to travel to and just be open to how it shows up. Like put out there the type of profession you want, put out there the type of life that you desire, the type of man you choose, you know, you desire to attract, mm-hmm. and just let God work at it. Like stop trying so hard. And so when I found out when you just put it out there like that and just be yourself in the process, it literally just shows up.
It's very true. Another good book, Judgment Detox.
Oh, yeah.
Gabby Bernstein, must read. And get the study guide that goes along with it.
Anything by Gabby Bernstein. The one that I love is The Universe Has Your Back, which you haven't read that yet.
Read that one.
Oh, it's so good.
Birthday idea. Turning 23 in July, everybody. Climbing on up there, you know?
23 and 43. 43.
The yin and yang.
Okay, so let's get into some of the business type stuff. So we're talking about like finding your power and kind of like what holds people back, which I feel like when you kind of already answered this is one thing that I feel like holds people back is we give too much power to other people and their opinions on us.
Drop mic and we leave. That, yes. Yes.
And so it's in a world of social media, the comparison game, which, you know, people will compare. Don't compare your life to somebody's highlight reel. Like, don't compare your life to mine just because of my social media, because you're seeing a glimpse of all of 2 seconds, you know, and I won't compare. Listen, we talked about this yesterday. I'm like, look at this couple, not to judge. I was just kind of stating, but like people who look so happy on social media, but they're not really happy. And so for me, I had to like call myself out of stop judging relationships off social media. Mm-hmm. Like stop judging somebody else's success. Like, on, you know, I might see somebody really successful on social media, but you're not highlighting the 16-hour grind they put in 5 years, seven right. days a week. So going back to like what holds people back is the opinion of others and the comparison.
The comparison game is crucial to first identifying what your power is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole giving other people and allowing their opinions of you to guide your life, I got news for you. Every single person who has ever met you, and even the people who have not met you, anyone who's had exposure to you has an opinion about you.
Oh, for sure.
And they range from you are the best person in the world to you are the spawn of Satan. I guarantee you it is that extreme.
Well, I've had people who, you know, they've even said, they're like, they were so disappointed. Like they would tell another friend, they were disappointed in when they met me because I was not as talkative or, you know, she's not what I expected her to be because on social media, she's so out there in their opinion, but yet they meet me and I'm quiet,
right.
Which I'm not, I mean, I've never heard of ambivert, or maybe I just forgot that word, but
I didn't come up with it. I wish I did, but
It's I can be introverted, extroverted. I mean, because you see, I'm a major social butterfly sometimes, but then sometimes I can sit on the back porch, listen to the water. I can sit on a mountaintop for hours and be so content. But it's just sometimes I don't want to do small talk.
And that's okay.
And sometimes it's like, you know, you're judging me off of 2 seconds.
You're judging me off of the personality that I've created.
Right. Where in
it's
reality,
the same with celebrities.
It's so easy to post on social media. Like, I can write, like, there is no tomorrow. That is, people have asked me, I don't think I've told it. So many people have asked me, does Logan do your social media? I mean, that's a compliment.
No. The
it's
answer
a compliment.
Is no.
But no, like, writing is my outlet. Mm-hmm. It embraces the creative side. I mean, there's so many times I will write stuff just to write it because it gets it out and it's my way of expression.
Right.
As far as talk about meditation, because that's one way I stay so connected and so grounded. where, I mean, there's been times I'm like, girl, I just meditated. I got to tell you something. This is what has showed up.
This is what I envisioned in my quest in my mind.
This is what I saw. I remember last year we went to, it was an event that, it was for Talk Magazine. We did an event. And I was like, girl, I just meditated. And by the way, for those of you who talk to me on the phone, if I call you and start the conversation with girl, it's going to be good.
It's something.
I was like,
this girl will manifest a parking spot in front of a restaurant we're going to eat at. I mean, it runs deep. And to answer your question about meditation and that whole realm, first, I feel like I need a disclaimer. You either love conversations with me or you hate it, because I'm kind of all-encompassing in the way that I'm not really going to land on just one way of doing something. And meditation is one of those things. Spirituality, I can talk for days about it.
Same.
I love it. Meditation is one of the rabbit holes I love to go down. But it looks a little different for me than everyone else. And it dials back to do not put these things in boxes. Meditation does not mean you are sitting on your meditation pillow in the cleanest corner of your home with your eyes closed and your legs crossed. You got wind chimes in the background and sparkly lights climbing on you. I mean, it's not that way for everyone. For you, it is. It is the magical, metaphysical, you transcend in your meditation. For me, last night, my meditation was cutting a cucumber and making a cucumber salad for dinner. It was a little interrupted when I got to the red onion because I was crying and I was distracted. But I'm saying, you know, it looks different ways for different people. And I think one of the things that we've both mutually landed on is silence. Whenever you sit in silence, whether you like it or not, you're meditating, because you are alone with your thoughts. You're alone with yourself, and you allow things to come to you, to release from you. And so for some, it looks like what proper meditation in the typical context is going to look like. For others, for me, sometimes it's my drive to work where I'm not listening to the radio. I'm not talking on the phone. I'm just driving. It's one of those things you look up and you're like, how did I get from A to B? I don't even remember the middle ground. Or it's cooking dinner. You have no music. No one's in there talking to you. You are just methodically focused on what you're doing. It can be something not as glamorous. It could be your nightly walk to the trash can where you're just alone. It's a 30-second maneuver for you. But it's just that moment to check in with yourself and say, you know, how am I? How is my day? Where am I going tomorrow? What am I okay with? What am I not okay with? And allow those questions to come and flow from you. And call it meditation. Call it quiet time. Call it my time, Zen zone. I don't care. Call it whatever you want, whatever term resonates with you. Just don't box it up.
That's so true. There's been times, like for me, it's driving in a car on an airplane because I have no Wi-Fi and I'm disconnected. Hiking is massive for me because, again, no Wi-Fi. It's just walking. It's effortless. And then sitting on just a mountain and looking at the view. But for me, intentionally, every day, sometimes it's two times a day. Sometimes it's just once a day. There was a period in my life, probably it was about a year ago, like I would meditate for hours where because I am so busy and my schedule is so full with a lot of stuff that I do that I intentionally have to sit still and just have no noise, like no guided meditation, no noise. I went through a training meditation a few years ago where they taught you how to do that. Like people like me sometimes have to be taught, but really just listening in and, you know, whether it is cutting a cucumber, even like being in the shower because it's so routine where I'll get the best ideas. But it's not just about, you know, I mean, some people, I'm just going to put it out there too. I mean, I've had people from the Christian church send me letters telling me how I'm going down the wrong path and they're concerned about me.
That's how you change the world, people.
I mean,
I tell you,
because
that is
meditation
gold.
Is this way and that way. And I'm like, seriously? Like, it's people like you that, people like me don't really go to a Christian church sometimes.
No judgment, but letters don't work. Letters of hate do not work.
No.
Mean comments do not work.
And so it's just really listening and getting, I've gotten the best business ideas. Mm-hmm. I've gotten like affirmations, confirmations, like going back to when we were, and again, I don't know why some of this stuff comes in the way it does, but like that night, I remember calling you. I'm like, we're going to this event and this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. and we're going to meet these people, blah, blah. And literally looking back,
we did.
That's when we met basically the people we're surrounded ourselves with now, like with Megan and Tom and them. I mean, that's the night that we met them, Amanda. And
yeah,
it comes through. Okay. So we have a few questions that have come through that we'll answer, which they're so extreme.
Goodness.
Okay.
I'm ready.
This will be interesting. So let's do the easy one first. Go-to beauty tips.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday.
Go-to beauty tips.
About this a lot. The importance of, like, how you present yourself. Because I could wear yoga pants every day and be happy. Or I can just get dressed, but I can also put on a sequin jumpsuit too.
Right.
But for people who, like, what's just your go-to beauty tip every day?
See, like, this is why I stumbled. Days, I was thinking,
on
like,
on days that, like, I know, because you do a lot of stuff, like the mask.
I was thinking in terms of wash your face with coconut oil and drink a lot of water. But no, my go-to beauty tip, genuinely, again, love it or hate it, I think every day you need to find the one thing that makes you feel confident as all hell. So for me, skin health is huge. If I have dark circles, which, you know, I do most days, if I have a blemish, if I have dry patches, whatever it may be, I'm going to fix that ASAP, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I'm doing my eyebrows and putting on lashes and fixing my hair. It just means I want my skin to be glowy, healthy, and vibrant. And then I can walk into any room and feel like, okay, I'm here. I'm presented. I'm good. But in that same breath of that beauty tip, let go of the things that you hate doing in your beauty routine. For example, this hair, it don't get much done to it on a daily basis. I'm not someone that curls and straightens and blow dries and whatnot. I can't stand having to do my hair. My arm gets tired, gets hot in there. I don't like it. And so on most days, my hair is not fixed. How I roll out of bed. No, I'm not saying I have a rat's nest, you know, forming on the back of my head. But on most days, my hair is either going to be in a messy ponytail, little boho vibe going, or it's going to be down and just wavy because that's just naturally how it is. But that means I have time to really focus on the thing that does make me feel beautiful. And I'm not spending an hour and a half, 2 hours getting ready in the morning. I'm able to focus on what I love, make what I don't love look presentable, and just walk out the door. That's my beauty tip.
Yeah, for me, it's lashes. One. That was good. But it's true, though. It's very simple.
Simple.
Because that way it makes you look presentable and
and you feel confident.
Right. Because that will definitely radiate out.
Absolutely.
If you're not feeling it on the inside, it definitely radiates out. For me, it's lashes. On the days that I'm in my yoga pants and just don't feel like getting dressed, and my hair is in a ponytail or a top knot, I will throw those lashes
put
on.
Put
some mascara
on.
And I feel like a woman.
Mm-hmm. Which you have good natural lashes, so does mascara, like, is that clumped in the same category, or are we talking strip lashes?
I would say mascara, but if I need to, like,
like, we're really glamming it up, we're strip lashes.
Yeah.
What's your go-to strip lash?
It's the Endure that I've been doing lately. And then the other ones, what's the other brand? I love, the Endures are like, I mean, they're like feathers.
They are wispy. They are beautiful.
They're like, they're all up in there.
Love.
Okay, this is going to be super simple. What are your top 5 favorite movies of all time?
Who asked that question?
This is
what
from
does that
a guy.
Have to do with anything?
This is from a guy.
I'll give you one movie that I like. One. I'll give you one because I think, what does that have to do with anything? One movie that I just absolutely, anything with Denzel Washington, anything with him, I'm hooked.
I don't watch movies. I don't know anything about movies. I don't know actors. I don't even know names to even say if they walk through the door. I don't know people. I can tell you all about neuroscience.
You know Denzel Washington.
Yeah. I know his name.
Oh, Lord. Have mercy. Denzel. Anything with a good old pal Denzel, I'm going to be glued to the TV.
This is, again, from another guy. How can us men make sure our wives don't burn out because they need time?
Oh,
and I think that's such a sweet question. And I would just say, date her. especially the moms, like spend time with her, date her, give her a girl's weekend away, give her some, even just a spa day in your local town. You and Jeremy are really good about that. Like, he just totally dotes on you. And
not my husband, but my boyfriend.
Yes, soon to be husband, yes. Which I'm going to speak at their wedding.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I would say to this guy asking, how do you make sure your wife doesn't burn out? I would say there's no right, wrong. There's no do this every day, don't do this every day. You're already in the right headspace by asking that question. By you putting energy towards, I love you, I don't want you to burn out, what can I do? That is the best advice I can give you. Mm-hmm. Ask that question and let her answer it for you, because I guarantee you every day it's going to be something different.
That's very
true. And it's
going to
be on both levels of the spectrum.
Very true. Okay, last question. And this is going to be, this could go down a rabbit trail, but we only have like 6 minutes left. So dating in 20s versus 40s, they want to know basically about attracting the right person.
Well, I've not met someone in my 40s because I'm 22, well,
that
so
would,
I don't know what that would look like.
But
I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, is it your circumstances are going to be different, obviously. Mm-hmm. But a relationship, you're trying to meet your forever person. And I would think that's the same whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You're trying to meet someone that you want to spend the rest of your days with. And so while the day-to-day ins and outs of what your job looks like, do you or do you not have kids, what's your career, what kind of house do you live in, what kind of dates are you able to do, what kind of trips are you able to take, that will look different. But the end goal is always going to boil down to, do you have healthy and open communication? Are you willing to recognize what another person needs and provide that for them, and vice versa? Are they willing to do that for you? And three, do you feel connected to them on the trifecta of what it means to be a human?
Absolutely.
Mind, body, spirit. Are you connected in that way? And that transcends any decade. You know what I mean?
Right. And I 100% agree. I ditto all of that. You know, my whole thing, and a lot of women that I tend, the women that I tend to coach are divorced women, single women, or single in their 30s because I haven't met somebody yet. I think when this question came through, it's because they see you and Jeremy on social media. They see you out, and you guys are, like, you complement each other so well. The only thing I would add different in addition to that is, like, I am a big advocate of never settling. And I think that also comes different, like being in the 40s and being divorced and having children is, like, I will put it out there. I mean, I'm a package deal. You know, it's me and three kids. Now, listen, I don't need a second baby daddy because their daddy is very present and he is a great dad to those kids and they are fine. But it's me and three kids. So it's not just me, but it's three kids. But it is different in the 40s because then you've got the children involved, the other people's children involved, you've got the exes involved. And, you know, just to, you know, finish off with that is, you know, when you are older and you're dating, because it is a different ball field, is, you know, he and I made effort from day one to always put the kids first in everything. And we always respected each other's journey in that. And so that's where dating in 40s, I guess basically it would be like divorce dating, would be that. But,
well, that's the key to dating in general. Respect someone's journey. Respect their journey. If you're not compatible, take it for what it
is. Exactly.
And you're fine. They're fine. Go your separate ways, separate paths. But just, and that's relationships, friendships, business partners, client relationships. Respect the journey and the image that they have in their head of what they want. If you fit that mold, great.
Absolutely.
If you don't, that's okay too.
Absolutely. Very well said. Well, that is the conclusion of the Bridget Bartley Show. We had so much fun girl talking. This literally is what we talk about, whether you see us at Gianna's, whether you see us at the coffee shop,
so
whether you see us at SIP. I mean, this is literally how and what we talk about. If you have any other questions, you can comment below on the post. If you want to connect with Logan and work with her with Studio Meraki, she is tagged in all the social media posts, whether Instagram, Facebook, and you can message her directly and do a consult with her. We will be back in 2 weeks for the next Bridget Bartley Show, and we hope you'll have an awesome week.